A lot of people resist going into the family business. But what if instead of a plumber or a car dealer, Dad was one of the Beatles? Today, I talk with musicians who decided to follow in the professional footsteps of their parents. And first up, Sean Lennon.
Love is like an airplane. You jump and then you pray. Lucky ones remain in the clouds today.
He is, of course, the only child of Yoko Ono and John Lennon. And he has carved out a pretty interesting career of his own as a songwriter and performer and producer, experimenting with avant-garde jazz and folk, as well as pop. I spoke with Sean in 2006 when he'd just released an excellent album called Friendly Fire. I asked him if he felt like he had to work especially hard to live up to the bar set by his old man.
I think if you're an artist, you should anyway, you know. I don't think I do especially, because my intention isn't to live up to something. It's more just to continue a tradition of making art that's in my family. I mean, my mother does it as well.
Your first album, Into the Sun, came out 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you wait so long to do another record?
Well, I mean, that relates to what I'm talking about, the disparity between, you know, what people think I'm supposed to be and who I am. And so I didn't want to do it, basically. You know, I don't always want to put out a record and be scrutinized and do interviews and have people ask me personal questions in embarrassing situations. I mean, I just don't want to do that, you know. And it's not that I'm complaining about it. It's not like I have an inherent...
Oh, poor famous
yeah.
me.
Yeah. It's more that it's just my personality is such that I am not comfortable in that situation. I think certain people are, you know, born rock stars, as it were. And I'm just, I tend to be a little sensitive about those things, and it makes me nervous, you know. And that's really the only reason why I didn't put out a record for 8 years.
This record, Friendly Fire, your disinclination to be asked unpleasant questions aside, is based on a true story, a fairly sensational story.
Well, you know, it's basically about what it's like when, you know, relationships disintegrate. It's not like I invented that theme, obviously, you know.
But a friend of yours stole your girl.
Yeah, you could call it that. I mean, it was a little more complicated than that. It's more like a Shakespearean tragedy, you know. It's like a triangle where each person has their own responsibilities and you know, mistakes. And we all kind of participated in our destruction, you know.
And the tragic part?
Well, the tragedy is that I never got to really make up with him, and he passed away. I mean, and the tragic part is simply that he passed away, because that's something that I'll never really be able to reconcile or get over. But I don't want to pretend that it's a tell-all, because it really isn't.
It's a work of art inspired by the stuff that really happened.
It's a bunch of songs, you know.
Well, let's listen to one of those bunches of songs. The first song on the record is called Dead Meat.
Dead meat, don't you know you're dead meat? You just messed with the wrong team. Better not try and fall asleep now, yeah. You better run out of here. I'll close my eyes and count to 10, and then I'll come find you, yeah, yeah. Get what you deserve.
That was Dead Meat from the new album Friendly Fire by Sean Lennon, and a very lovely song it is. I read somewhere that you consider your biggest musical influence to be Brian Wilson.
I'm hugely inspired and influenced by the Beach Boys, just in terms of, you know, the complexity of the craft of their songwriting. Of Brian Wilson specifically. It's almost like studying Bach or something. It's very intricate music. It's very sophisticated. And if you want to get good at writing songs, you know, that's the kind of thing you have to, you know, learn from. My music school, since I never went to music school, is, you know, listening to Beach Boys records,
right.
You know, but not exclusively, you know. I mean, I think, you know, to be honest, on some level, I tend to mention the Beach Boys Because it's truly an influence, but also just to make sure that people don't think my only influence is the Beatles. Because
right.
people are just trying to assume that, you know, I wake up in a Beatle world, Beatle land, and drink and sleep and eat Beatles all the time.
It's a simpler story.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I do love the Beatles' music, and of course it's a great influence on me as well. But so is Debussy, you know, so is Ravel, and so is Miles Davis and Cole Porter.
You like the French guys, huh? Ravel and Satie.
Yeah, I do, actually. I mean, I think the older I get, I like more romantic-sounding music. When I was younger, I used to listen to, like, Slayer and, you know, the Melvins and heavy music. And, you know, I somehow wanted abrasive sounds in my head all the time. But I think with the general degree of stress increase in the world, I think I'm looking more and more towards sounds that relax me. And
I hear you. That's why I don't read the New York Post as much anymore.
God, I mean, if you could call that reading, yeah.
You say that people come with a set of preconceptions expecting you to live in some fantasy of a Beatles world, but I expect that your music and art generally must have been influenced as much by your mother's work.
I think I was most influenced by my mother, just not just in art, but in life. I mean, you know, one is by their mother, you know. That's, you know, you learn how to speak English by imitating the way your mother talks. I mean, I learned how to live by imitating the way that my mother lived, and she was an artist, you know. We don't sit around the dinner table watching TV as much as we sit around drawing, you know. So for me to kind of be a multimedia person, it was not an effort on my part. It was just kind of the way I was brought up to live my daily life. I mean, that just seemed like a normal, a meat and potatoes kind of thing.
So it's not quite taking over the family business, but kinda.
It's continuing the family, you know, behavior pattern. You know, that's what it is.
You made a short film for each of these songs. Were you surprised at how that came out? Did it come out as you intended?
You know, it actually did, which is the biggest surprise, because it was a daunting project and I'd never made a film before, and I was pushed to the limit of what I felt I was physically capable of doing in my life. It made the record seem like a piece of cake.
What are you working on now?
I'm just working on getting the band together to tour for this album, you know. I'm also working on a film, a screenplay called Coin Locker Babies. It's about these children that are left in coin lockers at a train station and then grow up thinking that they were born out of a metal box.
So as intense as your movie-making experience was with the DVD on this album, you kind of caught the bug of filmmaking?
I just like to make stuff, you know? And whether it's music or drawing or films, before I die, I just want to make a bunch of stuff. Because it's really about kind of how I feel inside. I feel better when I've spent a month making something and then I can see that I made it and I feel like, wow, I did something. As opposed to when I haven't made something, then I feel kind of, it makes me feel anxious. It gives me anxiety not to work, let's put it that way.
I don't know if that's the Protestant ethic or just...
It could be some Christian guilt, but I mean, it's hard for...
Good habits.
It's hard to imagine I have any Christian guilt growing up with my parents being who they were, because they certainly didn't instill any traditions that way.
By osmosis, without being aware of it.
Yeah, I could have absorbed it through my skin. It's true.
Sean Lennon, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. That was pleasant.
These days, Sean Lennon is producing music by other artists, including Lana Del Rey, and playing with his band, The Claypool Lennon Delirium, and running a record label called Chimera Music.